So we've been going through the Epistle of James the last few weeks or so, and we're going to continue into this right to Advent. And I hope you have been encouraged and challenged by what we've talked about. And the messages are online and available for you to see. And I know this book itself has probably caused us to be a little uncomfortable because, as I've mentioned before, this book is a guideline for Christ followers on how to live as Christians. And there's things that are said in here that are challenging and are uncomfortable, and that's okay, because I think it's important to be uncomfortable in our spiritual lives at times to see how the Lord is working in our spirit as well. Now, I'm not sure what you have plans for today. Maybe some of you have plans for lunch. We have the potluck here, obviously. Maybe you have plans to do something later on today. I know many of us have different plans to maybe retire one day or different things that happen, and we think of those things today, and we plan years ahead. And it's good to plan and to consider that. And as we think about this morning, James Hudson Taylor, he's a British missionary to China. And he had a lot of convictions on how we should be doing the Lord's work and how we can plan our lives and how we can plan according to how the Lord is leading us. And in the midst of our planning, as we consider our lives, we need to include God in our plans, and not to consider the fact that we just do our own thing. And here's what James Hudson says. Yet another way of working is to begin with God, to ask his plans and to offer ourselves to him to carry out his purposes. And that's what we're going to be covering today in this particular part of the scriptures, James 4, verses 13 to 17, where it talks about our plans and what we do in this life, in this world. And the book of James has nothing against making plans at all. What he wants us to figure out and understand is, when we make our plans, are we doing it out of self-sufficiency, a wrong attitude, and just doing what we want versus what God wants for our lives? And to fully understand that we don't have control of anything. As much as we think we do, I think we have to fully accept and understand that for us, we don't have control. And for Christ followers, it's easy to make plans. And we want plans to fall in line with what God has for us as well. And sometimes we think we have this unlimited authority to make plans in our life, to be able to control the future. And that's just not the case. And we're reminded of that in these scriptures. And sometimes we can plan our lives like as if God doesn't even exist, that he's not even a part of our lives. And these scriptures warn us about being self-centered and planning in such a way that we disregard who God is in our day-to-day activity. So here, I'll read the scriptures here. The scripture should be on the screen, so you can follow with me on there, or turn to your devices as well, if that's what you'd like. James 4, verses 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on the business, and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance and schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Now, some interpreters have described the scripture that James is talking to non-Christian business people who plan their lives without any reference or anything towards God. And most likely the recipients of this particular word were believers of Christ, but they lived in such a way that the way they went about their day-to-day activity was an example of them not actually believing that God actually existed. He wasn't included in their lives. They didn't consider his will for their lives. They were considering their own thoughts and their own purposes. And that's a reminder for us as well. And so this subject is very relevant for all of us today. It's probably been relevant since the scriptures were first coming out, and it will continue to be relevant for the rest of our lives as we consider the future. Now, it's okay to plan, as mentioned earlier. Some of us plan for college and universities and different schools, and some of us are going to plan for marriage and more family, and again, perhaps some of us are planning for a long vacation and retirement coming down the road. And again, those things are not bad whatsoever. The question we have to ask ourselves is, where does God fit into all of this for us? You know, how does he fit into what we're doing each day and the decisions we are making? The Apostle Paul often, when he was traveling and his plans he would make, he would often include the Lord's Prayer in that, saying that if it's the Lord's will, this happens in my life. And he often used that mantra in his life, and he wanted the Lord to lead him in his life. And as we consider this, we have to ask ourselves a question: do we submit our plans to the will of God? How often do we do that? Again, we can make our plans, but the Lord has to lead us ultimately, and he needs to be included. And like I said, the Apostle Paul talked about God willing, if the Lord permits. He says that a few times in Scripture. Now, saying if the Lord wills assumes a couple of things for us. That God does have a will for us. Even everyday mundane matters, he has a will for us. And that God can also intervene to carry out his will in our lives. He's providential. He can do all things anytime he wants to, and he leads our lives. The wisdom for us is being able to plan our lives in such a way that we honor God in it, and we don't just do our own thing. And if we really want our plans to succeed and to do well, we need to include God in those plans. I think oftentimes we make plans, and then God perhaps is an afterthought. And when things don't go so well, we recognize that perhaps we didn't seek the Lord's will in this, and we were chasing something that we were trying to manufacture. And the Bible, again, talks a lot about this. We're called to understand his will. Ephesians 5 talks about that. We're called to be filled with his will each day as we live. Colossians talks about that. And the Lord will prove his will in our lives. And there's different parts of God's will. There's his revealed will that leads us each day. And we can see that because when we look at Scripture, we have direction and clarity about what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. And we should be looking to God's word for his revealed will. And we can plan according into the choices we make. You know, often I've heard people say, well, I don't share the gospel because, well, it's really not my gifting. However, if you look at the Scriptures, we're all called to be ministers of the gospel and to be witnesses. And that's how we can see God's will in our lives. And we have to understand that we have to submit to God and leaving our plans to his will. And I'm sure all of us, myself included, have prayed about something and we desire it so badly and it doesn't happen. And then sometimes we can even blame God for not happening. But if we take a few steps back and maybe recognize that perhaps we didn't submit, perhaps we didn't include the Lord in our plans. And sometimes it's important to look back and to consider that too, because we have to include God in our plans. We absolutely need to do that. And we also need to understand this, that we can ignore God's will easily in our lives. And it's folly to do this. And Scripture tells us this here again. I'll read some verses again. Now listen to you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? That's a great question that James asks. What is your life? And it's a question for us as well. What is our life? What does our life mean? And it goes on to say, you are mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or do that. Now, I know that sometimes in our conversations with people, that when we say, oh, if it's the Lord's will, you know, I didn't grow up in the church, and I've heard people talk like that. And I never could get my head around that because I thought, well, they're super spiritual or something, because I would never say things like that. But I understand the reason. It's not just a mantra, but it's a desire of our heart to say, is this the Lord's will for our life? Is this the Lord's will for our church? And you don't need to say that every single time, but it's a state of your heart that asks that question. What is the Lord's will in my life, and how is he leading me into that? Now, in these scriptures here, there's a lot of trading that was going on. And in Palestine, that was a way of business for people. And trading involved risk and different things you had to do. Farming was even more uncertain, and that's even true to this day. Farming isn't always a guarantee of any income. And people were willing to take lots of risks to become wealthy and live independently of themselves. And verse 13 shows us here that these businessmen plan their time of departure, their length, and their stay, and profit without any reference to the will of God. Now, we live in complex times. We live in day-to-day activities that seem, for some of us, just mundane and everyday activities, and they don't really matter to us, but they matter to God. And we need to make decisions in such a way to allow God to lead us in our lives, to increase the likelihood that we are following God's will. And that's the million-dollar question for many of us in the church that have often been asked, what is God's will for my life? How do I know I'm in God's will? You know, I heard somebody once say that the safest place to be is in God's will. And I struggle with that comment only because I don't think the gospel is safe. And I think it's always on us to understand and pray and to ask the Lord, how is he leading us? Where are you leading me? What are the plans you have for me in the future? And to include him in those plans. Again, James asked that question, what is your life? And we might have a lot of different answers to that question. But then again, he answers the question for us as well. It says right here in Scripture, and I've said it already, it talks about us being a mist just for a little while and we vanish. It's amazing when you look at life in that context that we should understand this too, that we should accept our mortality. We need to understand that we do not have any control as to what's going to happen in our lives, even to the next minute, to the next day. And to understand that life is fragile. Even what I shared earlier about what happened last Sunday, life is fragile. And you know of people in your lives who you talked to that morning and the next day they were gone. And we are not promised tomorrow. Life is absolutely short, and we are not going to live on this planet forever. And one day, for those who are Christ followers, we will be in glory with the Lord. Amen is right. And we need to recognize that. And the point isn't for us to preserve our life at all costs, because again, it's vapor. But rather, we live with the understanding that we may not have tomorrow. But what we have, we should be praying into what God's will is for our life. We shouldn't presume anything. And I think we all take it for granted, every single one of us, including me. We make these plans and we have all these thoughts. And again, planning isn't bad. But then again, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we take advantage of that. And because here's a fact, friends, we do not have power over tomorrow. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. At all, for any of us. And sometimes that's hard to hear. So as we have our lives, as we live day to day, how does God's will fit in your life? How is God's relationship in your life fit? Are you including him in your day to day? Are you including him in your life all the time? Or is he just an afterthought? Because if life is frail and is vapor, and we are like a shadow in this world, because at any given time, we can get sick and succumb to death. And we have to understand that. And it's foolish to think for us that we have the strength within ourselves to make our lives matter. Because everything that happens in our life is because of God. And we need to understand that as well. So since life is very short, we know that. Whatever length someone lives, understand that God has to be a part of our lives. And we also understand this too, because if we plan in such a way, and Scripture is referring this to as well, that in such a way that does not include God, we are actually being boastful and arrogant about it, because it's making it about us. We're not considering who God is in our life. We're not considering him in our plans. And we are warned not to be arrogant. We are warned in these Scriptures not to do that. And it says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance, schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. So James is accusing his audience of being braggers, how they're planning for the future without any inclusion of God in their life. So our boasting should not be within ourselves, or our plans. Our boasting should be in Christ and who he is in our lives. What did Paul say? The apostle Paul says, I consider all things rubbish except what? Jesus. So good. And he often prayed for the Lord's will to be done in his life. And if you don't know the story of the Apostle Paul, I encourage you to read it and what he went through. Amazing. Mind-boggling. And yet, let the Lord's will be done in my life. Amazing to me. So Paul boasted in what? In his weaknesses. And he boasted in the strength of Christ. And we should be doing the same thing, including the plans in our lives, including the things that we try to do on our own, including the arrogance we have, which is boasting, which Scripture tells us is evil. So we should avoid those things. And having a good plan is one thing, but when you include God in those plans, that's a whole different ballgame. And we have to do that. So friends, we think about this, and as we think through, you know, our life and the Lord's plans and for us as well, and we can see in Scripture again, there's lots of things that guide us, that we're called to repent, and we're called to get baptized, we're called to live as Christ followers in a way that is worthy of the gospel, that shows people who he is. And yet, even if we do not know the future, which we don't, we can still make a difference today in how we live. So many of us are so interested in what's going to happen tomorrow, or I will become more deeply in the Scriptures by tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow. I'm going to start sharing the gospel tomorrow. I'm going to serve my gifts tomorrow. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And yet, as I said earlier, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. I will make that relationship that I have broken and hurt somebody and reconcile. I'll do that tomorrow. And we wait, and there's years that go by. But we are not guaranteed tomorrow. So we need to make sure that we're honoring the Lord in everything we can do. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I talked about how it's important to reconcile with people that we have hurt, because we do not want loose ends in the kingdom. Absolutely not. But if we keep waiting and waiting and waiting, we're assuming a lot, aren't we? We're assuming we have control of our life. And I can wait. And we just cannot afford to do that. We need to include God in our schedules. We need to include God in our lives. Whether you're a business person, whether here it's at the church, whether here as a family, that we work diligently to allow God in our lives. Now, it's good to have plans and goals. Those things are good. But where does the Lord fit into that if you're a Christ follower? So as we do the Lord's will in our lives, it takes time to listen, to read the Scriptures, to submit, to confess, and allow the Lord to speak to us. It's important to do that. Because when we do these things, it draws us closer to the Lord. It also helps us to remain spiritually alive and connected to the Scriptures and to our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it says in verse 17, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. So for non-believers, that really begins with a rejection of the gospel. And for us as Christ followers, we have to make a decision that we're either going to trust God, follow his will for our lives, or have both of our feet in this world. And we start following the world standards. Because as Christ followers, we know what we're supposed to do. And yet there are times we're seeking wisdom from the Lord in certain situations for sure. But at the end of the day, when we look at the Scriptures, we look at what is called for Christ followers, we know what we're supposed to do. And if we don't do those things, it's a sin. So we have to understand that. We have to understand that. And perhaps that's us today, that we are living in two different worlds. We are living in this world and following the earthly wisdom of this world, including the relationships we have, or our life is central upon the gospel and the Scriptures and Jesus. We can't have a disconnect there. And I think many of us do. And it's easy to respond to the scriptures in a philosophical way, to know the law, to know all the things. But if we don't live those things, it doesn't really matter. Because if we just look at the things we just know in scripture, and please understand this, we should know the scriptures, but all we do is have knowledge, but we're not living for Christ, there's a disconnect. See, discipleship doesn't just mean learning. Discipleship actually means action as well. And we have to understand that as we ponder life, as we look at the meaning of what's ahead of us. And earlier in the sermon series, we talked about how it talks about the Bible here, and James says that we should be doers of the word. Not just hearers, but doers of the word. Now, God holds us accountable for knowing right and wrong. He holds us accountable when we don't honor the Lord and we think we're getting away with it. The Lord knows and he sees all things. And we as Christ followers need to commit our lives in such a way that we are planning all things that include Jesus in our life, including prayer and worship, sharing our faith, serving in our gifts and abilities that God has given us, unity in the church, all these things that are so vital and important. So as we consider this morning, how do you plan your life? Where does God fit into all of this? Like, really, where does God really fit into this? Not just an afterthought. Where does he fit? Because sometimes what happens is when we do our own thing, as I mentioned earlier, we can be very disappointed, thinking it was God's will, and it just wasn't. Because did we ever submit to that? Now, as we consider this, we talk about plans in our lives and the future and the day-to-day and knowing full well, tomorrow is not guaranteed. A question I have for all of us in this room and those watching online, I don't want to make any assumptions that I rarely ever do when it comes to people's faith. Where do you stand with Jesus? Have you ever thought about your plans and your life for eternity? I know many of us in the room have, but I don't know your hearts. Only God does. I don't know the hearts of people watching online. Only God does. And I've said this many, many times from up here, and I've said it throughout my life as a Christ follower. Giving your life to Jesus is the most important decision you'll ever make. Absolutely. This side of eternity and the other side of eternity. See, when you think about the Lord's will, we are clear on the Lord's will on this. Because here's what the Bible says. Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And we continue to read in Romans 10. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe that you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. What are you saved from? You are saved from an eternity without Jesus. And the opportunity and the blessing to live on this earth, as shattered as it is, to be salt and light for the gospel. And that's what we're called to do because it's in Scripture. So we know the Lord's will here. And perhaps you have come this morning, and maybe you're watching online, that you have not made a decision for Christ. You don't fully understand what it means. And I alluded to it earlier. Christ went to the cross for us, to die on the cross for our sins. And then he rose again 3 days later. And he ministered on earth for another 40 days or so, and he ascended into heaven. And as he was ascending to heaven, the disciples were looking and staring. And Jesus essentially said, I will be back, and I'll return the same way I left. And he will come back. And for those who are Christ followers, they will spend eternity with him in glory. And my heart for you this morning is that you fully understand who Jesus is, that he ministered on the earth, that he came to save people. Remember, Scripture says that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save us. And I hope and I pray that you know that your plans for eternity are set. And if they are not set and you have questions about that, I would love to chat with you. So would others. And if you're online watching as well, you need to talk about this. Pop into the church. Do not let a moment go by, because as I said earlier, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. And if you have friends and family in your life that are far from Christ and you yet have not shared the gospel, why? Why? Why wait? I know it's hard. I know it's really hard. None of my family are Christ followers. I get it. But why wait? Why wait? We just don't know. Take opportunity and advantage of the time we have here and share of the gospel. So what do we do with all this? Because there's a lot to consider, a lot to think through. We need to ask the Lord when it comes to his will, with the right motives, when we pray about things. We need to seek God's grace for our whole heart in the way we live each day. We also need to resist the temptation for us to control our lives and allow God to lead us. And in the same vein, too, as we resist temptation as a whole in this broken world that we live in, that we make decisions privately and publicly that honor the Lord as well. We also need to recognize that as we are unified in the church, that we do not slander one another, that we live with God's law in our heart through the Spirit as we come alongside with others. And we also need to concern and consider how we live our life and how does Jesus fit into this. There's a song called Jesus Be the Center. We're not going to sing it this morning, but it reminds me of that song because it talks about Jesus being the center of everything we say, do, and live through. And a huge part of that is how we plan our lives. So friends, if you are at a place today where you are trying to make big decisions or small decisions, because God cares about the mundane in our lives as well, not just the big things, which I love that about Jesus, I encourage you to pray. Pray for God's will in your life to be done. Listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Ask others to come alongside and pray with you, perhaps to share some wisdom. And let's live in such a way that we don't live out of our arrogance to think that we have control of this world, because we absolutely don't. But to live with the humility to understand every day is a gift. And I know we hear that all the time. Live today like there's no tomorrow. Hug your family and friends. Be kind today because you don't know what tomorrow brings. There's absolute truth to all of that. So as a church, and for us individually and collectively, we want to honor the Lord and to seek out his will for our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for how they speak so much to us, and that we can look to the scriptures for the answers we need. And I pray that that would just be our default, that we always go to the Word and to recognize how it has led us in the past and how it will lead us into the future. And I pray the Holy Spirit would continue to lead us as well, and that when we need to seek and understand your will, Lord, that we would go to the scriptures, that we would listen, that we would pray, that we would submit, and we would come with a repentant heart and as you lead us. And for those today who are trying to figure out plans for the future, whatever that area of life may be, Lord, I pray they would allow you to be in those plans, that you would show them exactly how you are leading them. And Lord, I know that you've given us a free will, and I pray within that free will that we have, we would not take that for granted or forget you in our day-to-day life. So thank you for each person here. Thank you for the work you're doing in their hearts. And I pray they are encouraged today. I pray that they are open and ready to dive even deeper into the relationship with you, Jesus, and with one another as well. Lord, thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning. Thank you again for another day of life. And as we think ahead, as we think about the rest of this afternoon or any of those things, I pray we would not get ahead of you. And help us be grateful for the time we have. Because as your scriptures say, life is just as a vapor. In Jesus' name.